Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is March 14th, 2015, and I'm so glad you joined us at NoBetterWay.net. Tonight's show is titled Religion or Relationship, and tonight's reflection verses are from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 through 23. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Amen. You know what, folks? Those are some sobering words from Jesus, our Savior. He's telling us that he can read right through us. He knows our hearts. And you know, it always comes down to our hearts, doesn't it? So that's where today's title comes to our discussion. What's your faith about? Is it about religion or about relationship? Someone may ask you, what religion are you? You may respond that you're a Christian, you're a Methodist, you're a Baptist, or you're a Lutheran. They may ask you, are you saved? Have you asked Jesus to be your Savior? And you say, yes, I've been saved since I was a little boy or girl. And you might be an upstanding member of your church. You attend weekly and you donate generously. And that's all well and good. But what if someone asks you, how's your relationship with the Lord? Are you walking with him? These are extremely personal questions that each of us can only answer honestly. And remember, folks, Jesus knows our hearts. Jesus had a way of calling out the phonies. He called out the religious Pharisees. He called them whitewashed tombs. They were nice looking on the outside and dead on the inside. They were religious. They followed all the rules. They were good on putting on a holy show for all to see. But Jesus despised their heartless system. Jesus was looking for loving relationships to build his church. He wanted men and women who would hunger for his truth and seek him and his will with all their heart, soul, and mind. Matthew 23, verse 37 reads, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. So maybe your relationship is deep with the Lord, as I would pray it is, but maybe you think of yourself as a pretty good person. You know, you play church for 1 hour on Sunday. You say a prayer occasionally. You give to all the good causes. But maybe you've walked at a distance from the Lord. Maybe he's so far you can't even recognize him in your life. Revelation 3, verse 20 reads, Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Amen. Jesus is knocking at the door of our hearts. It's us. you and me, that have to open the door of our hearts. He's not going to force it open. Jesus comes into our open hearts and dines with us. Now, isn't that a big part of relationships? To go out and dine, have an experience. So, have an experience and get to know Jesus. Spend time with him. How do we spend time with him? Through prayer. Basically prayer, we're talking to him. We're having a conversation. We read his word. And by reading his word, we get to know him. Doesn't John 1:14 read, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among men"? Jesus is the word. So when we read his word, we get to know him. And also we get to know his will. The word, the spirit moves us. And of course, our response to getting to know him and all he does for us and has done for us, we have to praise him. And we do that, we go to church, right? And we praise him. And we also praise him how we live our lives with Jesus by our side. Amen? Well, enough said right now. All I can say right now is praise God. And we're going to take a little break. And then when I get back, I'll take some phone calls. I'm going to play. I can find my song, Bear With Me, folks. Okay, this is by Casting Crowns. Who am I? Hope you enjoy.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Because of
but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
That's a great song by Casting Crowns. Who am I? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. I'm a flower quickly fading, here today, gone tomorrow. Our life is like a vapor. Jesus may be calling you today. Let today be that day of salvation. Hear his voice. Another words from the song. Hear me when I'm calling. Catch me when I'm falling right now. And the Lord hears you. He loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He doesn't want you to be a religious person, although religion is part of being a Christian. What does it say? The purest form of religion is taking care of widows and orphans. So part of our, a life as a Christian is to live a life of religion. But mainly it's a relationship with Jesus. Amen? And isn't that what God has created us for? To have relationships. And that relationship with the Lord should be the most special one in your life. God has blessed you with many other ones. You've got some dear friends, your relationship with your parents and your brothers and sisters you may have a special relationship with your wife or your husband, and with Jesus in the middle of that relationship or any relationship, it makes it stronger and more special and more blessed. Amen. Okay, I'll give out that number, 347-989-0095. I'd love for you to call in. I'm just a truck driver from Bartlett, Illinois. I have no degrees, as you probably can tell, but I just love the Lord and just want to share my faith and just pray that the show can be a blessing to you. As we talked today about having a relationship with Jesus, our Savior. Amen. In regards to relationships, I heard a preacher talking earlier today. I listened to the internet. I love some of the preachers on the internet. And he was talking about the vine and the branches, right? And that kind of talks about how Jesus is the vine. He's the main part of that whole system that produces grapes. He's the base, and then we're attached. And so it's through him. When we are connected to him, that we can live a life full of faith and a life that produces fruit for the kingdom of God. I'll just read a few verses from it's John chapter 15. I'll start with verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to my disciples. And when I was reading earlier, when I was reading the verses, the reflection verses, and it was talking about beware of false prophets. And that on the outside, they look like they're good shepherds, but inwardly, they're ferocious wolves. So, and it says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So a sign of a Christian that is in Christ, that is abiding in him and living a loving relationship with the Lord, is you see the fruit, right? You see the fruits of the Spirit, like it says in Galatians 5, where it says fruit of the Spirit is patience, kindness, goodness, tenderness. And so when you see the fruits of the Spirit evident in that Christian's life, you can see that they're having a relationship with the Lord. So anyway, I'd love to hear if you've got a story. I'd love to hear you want to share your walk with the Lord, how things are going. It would be a blessing to hear from you. I'd love to make a new friend tonight. Again, that number is 347-989-0095. I was thinking about relationships, and a husband and wife, that's like the most, other than your relationship with the Lord, a husband-wife relationship is could be the most difficult, yet the biggest blessing on earth. And I was just thinking, if the partners weren't in love and they were just going through the motion, and just say, well, I'll just stay with you, but I don't really love you, and just live this kind of shallow, non-committed, with no affection, and I'm just thinking, well, isn't that how some of us live our relationship with the Lord? We do our church thing on Sunday, kind of like a duty. We go for an hour, and if there's a 12 o'clock NFL football game, and church ends at 5 to 12, we're flying out the door to get home. We do our hour on Sunday, and then the rest of the week, be doing hardly anything. Maybe a few times we volunteer for this or that, but we don't have that commitment. We don't want to have that close walk with the Lord. Like everything we do matters. We're kind of like on our own, doing our duty on Sunday, playing church. And, when we think about it, maybe we'll say a prayer here and there. But, you have to start questioning yourself. Do you truly know the Lord? Or are you just going through the motions? I'm sure most of us, if we're living, and we had a friend or say a wife or any relationship, and it was just kind of very shallow, and you can tell that the other person didn't really show a lot of care towards you, didn't even want to know how you're doing. I don't know how long that relationship would last. So we are blessed to have a loving God that is so patient. He's walking alongside of us, but we might be ignoring him. What I'm saying right now is, myself included, we need to examine our hearts. We need to say, I say I'm a Christian. Jesus is my Savior. He's done so much for me. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He gave his life so that all of us, he paid the price for our sins so that we may have life, right? He rose on the third day, and we have that blessed hope that we too will rise, right? So he has given us so much. So we need to do a little soul searching. And like I say, if you're having a great walk with the Lord, praise God. That's great to hear. Again, I'd love to hear from you. 347-989-0095. Love to have you call in. You got a story to share with me. Maybe there's a blessing. I'll do that tonight too. Maybe you don't want to talk too long, just say hi, you know, let me know, you know, where you're from, and, you know, how your life's going, and maybe a quick 30-second call, share a blessing, something that the Lord has done for you. I will share a blessing with you. I'm in a situation at work where I need an operation coming up soon, so I need a part-time driver. So I just put an ad for a part-time driver, and it can be a grueling process trying to find the right person. I'm a small company. So anyway, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I just pray you send me a driver. And today I got a phone call, and it looks like I got the right guy. Monday morning, I will know for sure. But Lord, I want to thank you and praise you for answering my prayer right away. Thank you and praise you, and you are awesome, Lord. All right, you know what I'm going to do is, while I've got an empty board and I'm, you know, patiently waiting here, I'm gonna play a song. You know, sometimes in life, things aren't going well. There may be illness. We may have lost, might have lost a loved one. Maybe we are having struggles with relationships. Maybe we're struggling with our faith. There's a song called Praise You in the Storm, which is so relevant when we're going through hard times, yet we want to say, Lord, I still praise you. I still believe in you. I still want to follow you. So it's Praise You in the Storm. Enjoy.
Praise you in the storm.
great song, Praise You in This Storm by Casting Crowns. Even though my heart is torn, I'll praise you in this storm. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So that relationship we're talking about, the creator, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. And while I've got this moment, we're praising the Lord, whether it's good times or bad times, times of storms. I'm going to just read Psalm 150. It's a short praise psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. David finished off the Psalms, and it begins in a praise and it ends. And that's how our life should be. I heard, listening to the sermon I was listening earlier, he says, everything we do is worship. So even the word worship in Hebrew means work. So it's tied to our lives should be one big worship song to the Lord. Amen. Okay, I don't know. I got a quiet board today. I'll give that number again. 347-989-0095. I'd love to have you call in. I got a call. Welcome to NoBetterWay.net. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi, Rudy. It's John.
Well, hello, John. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that passage that you read from John 15. And, that there was on the occasion of the Last Supper. So this is some of the last teaching that Jesus gave for his disciples. And there's a lot packed in that section of teaching right there. And one of the things that jumps out at me is that, Jesus, he commanded us that we must love each other. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in verse 12 there, he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And I'm kind of convicted by that verse, because when I compare my love for my fellow man to what he did, I find that I feel like I come up kind of short.
Oh yeah. I was just talking to a friend about what you're just saying about, and I just where vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and I don't know if it's more in a man than a woman, but it's like I have to work through when someone violates me or offends me or something. I really need to step back and work through it before I start loving. I need the first to get through that, that moment where I'm just angry, So, like you said, we fall short. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough teaching, because it goes against our natural inclination, I think, as people.
Yeah.
To not really be loving to that level, to the people around us. And
hey, John.
Jesus himself was so mistreated. I mean, it was incredible the way he was treated, and yet he loved us.
Yeah. Well, he could have sent his holy angels to defend him when he was beaten and whipped and crucified, but yet he took it. He took it for us. Hey, John, I've got an idea right here. My son is calling, so how about if we do a little three-way? We can just kind of interject all our ideas. How's that sound?
Well, we can give it a try.
Okay, this is a first on my show, so we're going to go for it. Hello, welcome to KnowBetterWay.net. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, good to hear from you, son. Hey, Dave, I've got John Handy on the other line. That's Shirley's husband. You know John.
Yeah, how you doing, John?
Hi, Dave. Doing good.
Good.
So I'm going to have a three-way conversation here. We're going to attempt this. Why not, right?
Sure.
We're all gathered in Christ, right? He's present here with us. So we're talking about religion or relationships, you know. So and John, did you hear John's discussion? Because he brought up in John chapter 15 about the vine and the branches, and that God commands us to love each other as He's loved us. Were you listening to that at all, or?
Well, I kind of lost track of time, so sorry about that. Okay. If I missed that, but yeah, that's great. That's a great point for sure. Yeah, I just think you know, grafting us into His family, and one of the ways that the Lord speaks of His church a lot of times is we see it in, you know, Paul's letter calling brothers and sisters, and just the idea of family relationships and the idea of being adopted into God's family. So, yeah, that's just all throughout Scripture is we just see this idea of, you know, it's not a distant God who says, do this or you're doomed. It's like, I love you. I desire to save you. If you believe in Christ as your Savior, then you will be taken in as my child, adopted child, and, you know, like John said, being grafted in.
Well, John was saying that one verse about love others as I have loved you. It's a convicting, you know, verse, a convicting commandment, because, you know, how can we possibly love as Jesus loved, you know? And jump right in anytime, John, if you care to.
Well, yeah. So that the command at some level almost seems impossible, and yet I feel like we need to aspire to be obedient to it as best as we're able. But actually, there's another verse in there that you read that I have a question about. And you read verse 7, I think. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you.
Yeah.
And I that's another verse I struggle with, about what does it really mean? Because I think a lot of people would say, well, you know, I prayed for something that didn't happen. And and this verse is saying, yeah, if you know, there's a condition there. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. But I think people might feel like they've done that, and still it seems like it doesn't always work out that way. So I struggle with what that verse is meaning.
Dave, did you want to comment on that?
No, I was going to say, like, I think what the Lord's getting at there is that I think once we desire His will, like, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I think the closer we get to Jesus and the more and more intimate our relationship becomes with God, the desires of our heart become the desires of God's heart, so that our prayers will be matching up with God's will. And our prayer is almost like, you know, I don't just want what I want, God. I want what you desire for me. I want the life that you have planned for me. And I think that's where, you know, I think that's why it gets hard, because we don't specifically know every step that God has in front of us. You know, when we pray for things, we see to be good things to be praying for, and then they don't happen. It's kind of struggling with that passage. But I think if our prayer ultimately is to desire God's will for our life, then and I think that's when it lines up.
Yeah. Well, probably there are times that, like John said, there's some difficult situations where people were praying, you know, and they really felt they were in God's will or attempting to be, and still there was something that was on their heart, and they had prayed and prayed, and maybe God said no, you know, or did something differently, and I could see how that could be a real struggle.
Well, yeah, and then there's so many probably complexities and different levels to that as well, you know. You know, I think when we pray for our own lives, but ultimately to desire God's will, but also when we pray for others as well, you know, to desire God's will for them. And I think that to a certain extent, you know, we can, it's really hard when you pray for someone who doesn't believe in Jesus, and certainly God desires that all people be saved. But I think, I don't think, you know, Jesus is ever going to slam someone to the floor to believe. I think we just pray that people's hearts will be softened to hear from the Lord and to believe in Him.
Yeah. I always go back to that one verse. Hey, John, I have one of my favorite verses is, for those who delight in the Lord, He gives the desires of their heart. And, you know, I've had that, even David commented on that, and it's about being in the will of God, you know, and if you line up with His will, your desires will be what His desires are, you know, so
mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, but it's still, I can see, John, there has to be times in any believer's life that where they struggle with that, you know, reading that verse, yeah, you know.
Yeah, I guess one example I was thinking of was, like, for instance, praying for a family member to come to know the Lord. Well, you know, that so seems like it's within the Lord's will, because we're told, you know, it's not His will that any should perish, but that everyone should repent. But, you know, maybe what it comes down to is you're dealing with people that have free will, and like Dave said, you know, nobody's going to be compelled to become saved. You know, the offer's out there, and everybody has to make the decision to accept it or not, so in spite of whatever, you know, prayers we're praying for them. And maybe in cases like that where the Lord answers the prayer, if He does reach out to that person and you know, tugs on their heart, but,
yeah.
You know, in the end, it's their decision to make.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's so many complexities to all that, because we know that ultimately, you know, God will be victorious and will save all those that are in Jesus and who have put their faith in Jesus. But like you said, there is, you know, God does not want anybody to perish, does not want anybody to go to hell. But the reality of it is that some will, because of their rejection of the Lord. So I think you're right. The people, to an extent, have their freedom to believe or to disbelieve. But yeah, I think certainly God would want us to continue to pray for their hearts, like you said, pray that God will speak to their hearts and that He'll transform their hearts and minds and help them to see how much Jesus loves them and desires for them to believe in Him and be saved.
Yeah, I always think of salvation, the whole thing, you know, with the Holy Spirit and God working in a person's life. It's just a pure miracle, you know. I mean, we're the workers, right? We're part of the harvest, but He's the one that, you know, that transforms them, you know. So I know that the way I was at one time and how the Lord has changed me, it's a miracle. I'm sure you can give a witness to that. Yeah, yeah.
No, I was going to say, I think it fits into the topic tonight that it is about relationship and it's not religion. Because if it was just religion and you just had to think a certain thing and say a certain formulaic phrase or whatever, it's not about just saying something. It's about loving God and loving Jesus and having a relationship with Him. And you know, we can take somebody and put a weapon to their head and say you love me, you know, say you love me and you care about me, but it won't be authentic because they're doing it because they're forced to do it. So whereas God desires our hearts, he wants us to love him. And for love to be authentic, it has to be given freely. So he desires for us to freely love him out of our own hearts. And so I think that has something, I think that has to do with the fact that, you know, some people will never come to faith in him because to truly love God, you know, is a real active thing. And some people just reject that. And I think Satan tricks people's brains into not seeing how much God loves them, how much Jesus loves them, and gets people to doubt God and all that. And so that's why I think continuing to pray for people that God will help them to see him clearly would be key.
Yeah, well, one of the verses that really hit me hard, Dave, John, is what I read earlier in Matthew 7, and where it says, you know, how someone proclaims to be a follower and that they had done all these works for the Lord, and then he'll tell them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. And, you know, so there's a lot of, you know, there has to be a lot of religious people out there that are in danger of being told that, you know, when the time comes where Jesus is going to have us, you know, stand in front of him, he's going to say, you know, because he never knew him, you know. So those are scary verses to me, guys. You know, I almost say I better do a heart check every once in a while, make sure things are, you know, are right. I don't know, how do you feel about that verse, Dave or John? You know, where how people proclaim to be, you know, doing work for the Lord, casting out demons and performing miracles, and then he just tells them that he never knew them, away from me, you evildoers.
Both of those passages, the John 15 and the Matthew 7, have a common theme there about bearing fruit. You know, in the John 15 passage, verse 5, Jesus says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. That's like a statement of fact. He will bear much fruit. And then in the Matthew 7 passage, in that section, he's also talking about trees bearing fruit.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's also convicting. You know, I think we all have to look at our own lives and say, you know, are we bearing fruit? And that can be very telling, you know, about what we're doing.
Yeah,
I agree with that for sure. And then, with that passage, I just think there's a lot of people that are the religion side, but not the relationship side, kind of what you're talking about tonight, whereas, you know, well, my grandma went, I'm a Christian because I was baptized as a baby, or I'm a Christian because my grandmother went to church and took me to church a few times, or because culturally that's what my family's done or my community's done, and they never had that relationship with the Lord. And they'll say, well, I thought I was a Christian because my grandma was, and I went to church a few times or got confirmed or whatever it is, and they just don't have their relationship with the Lord. And then there are those, and like in the scriptures, the Pharisees, who, you know, they know their scriptures very well. You know, unfortunately, they added on to it. And God's certainly not a fan of that, for sure. And just they got arrogant, and they thought that it was about what they know. They thought it was about, they thought they were better than other people. They just totally missed the point of loving and serving the Lord and loving people. And it became about a to-do checklist and something they used to, you know, talk down to others and all that. And, you know, even if they were doing some things throughout their life where they felt that they were serving God. If they never gave him their heart, then they're really missing the point there.
Yeah. You know, I was going to, Dave, what you were mentioning, I also want to say you have to be careful, like you said, how they thought they were better than other people, where you can start to look down on the lost, the sinners, you know, the certain, you know, people that are not accepted in society, you know, lose the compassion for them. So it's always good to do a heart check, you know, and say, hey, you know, what am I, you know, I could be starting to move in that direction. So it's always good to, you know, check our hearts at the door.
Yeah, John was saying bearing fruits, and, you know, and are we bearing fruit? Are we loving God more with our lives as time goes on? Are we loving people more? Are we serving God more? You know, are we being obedient children? Thinking the cool thing about, like, Jesus' time was the children would do the same work that their fathers would do. The sons would do the same work that their fathers would do. So, you know, our job is to do the work of God on the earth and to do his will and to reflect his character and his love in the world. And we're not doing that. We're missing the boat.
Yeah.
I was just thinking with regard to religion versus relationships. Now think about the religious leaders that had executed Jesus. You know, they were the most religious people around. And yet they certainly were not interested in a relationship with him, but in their own hearts they felt they were right. So, without that relationship, you're going to be off track.
Yeah, it seems like there's very few people that were trying to hear from God. And it seemed like those people that were trying to hear from God on who is Jesus really the Messiah? I think a lot of them were just like, nah, he's not. They're probably annoyed that he was taking all the attention away from them and questioning their authority and questioning their character. And we know how that's like when you challenge someone in their sin, you know, people don't respond to that too well. And
yeah. So
various reasons why they would reject him. But it seems like the few times that people did start to think, hey, I wonder if this person is who he says he is. You know, you kind of see that there are a few people doing that, but most of them were just, you know, just kind of going with the flow. And, you know, I think when we find ourselves going with the flow of society, then that's probably a pretty bad sign of where we're at.
Yeah, and if what does it say if you're not being persecuted for your faith, then you're doing something wrong. You know, you're not sharing your faith, and you'll be persecuted. You know, so anyway.
You know, there's another example I'm thinking of in that relationship versus religion. Is that I've been reading in Acts, and there's a section in chapter 19 where. You remember the story about the seven sons of Sceva? These were some guys who were exorcists, but they weren't followers of Jesus. And let us read this from Acts 19. It says, and this is something that happened in Ephesus after Paul had started building a big church there. It says, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. And it goes on to say that because of this incident, such a great fear broke out about the power of the name of Jesus, and a great revival broke out as a result. But in thinking about what went wrong with these guys, I think what they lacked was the relationship with Jesus. I mean, they were going through the motions. They were doing what they had seen other people do in casting out demons. But when they tried it, without the relationship with Jesus, it all backfired on.
Yeah, the powers and the powers in the name of Jesus, and the power is in the Lord. He's the King, and we're just the servants. And if our heart is proud and it's all about us, like it was with the Pharisees and probably those sons of Sceva there, it's they're just missing the point, because we're supposed to be just humbly serving the King as adopted sons and daughters and in a relationship with Him and following His will and trying to glorify Him, and it's not about us. And once we just, like Jesus says, if you lose yourself, you'll find yourself. If we're trying to build ourselves up, then we're scrambled. But if we're willing to say, I'm letting go of my life, I'm giving it to You, I serve You, You're the boss of my life, I'm Your humble servant, and thank You for adopting me into Your family and saving me through Jesus, that's when you start to grow that deeper relationship.
One way of that relationship is our prayer life. Sometimes I struggle with that, guys, but how often you talk. It's just like a relationship with a person in your life, with your wife or a good friend. How often do you talk to them, right? Sometimes we have to, get our prayer life right. I know I need to, be stronger in that area. So.
Yeah, just various ways to communicate with God, and certainly prayer, an active prayer life is one of those for sure. I think that's one of those things that probably Satan's working hard to distract us from is praying to God, A couple of different things, one, telling us we're too busy, and then two, making us maybe doubt whether God's listening, but we know for sure that, He is. He tells us that He is.
And it's great how that our insight in the Word, right? To read His Word and how He talks to us. We may read it one time and it doesn't seem to hit home, and then we'll go through something in our life, read the same verses, and boy, it hits. We get it. That's a wonderful thing about the Lord. He's constantly working on us, and we'll never love Him or love others as He loves us or others, but He wants us to constantly, stay in that relationship and walk close to Him. Amen.
Yeah, hey guys, I know you're getting juiced for time here, huh?
Well, Dave, would you like to close the show in prayer, and then I'll do the final song. And John, thank you so much for calling in. This has been a great show. I kind of like the format, this three-way format here. This went real well.
Yeah. All right, well, have a good evening. We'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, John. Have a good night.
Thanks, John. Right. Bye-bye. All right, want me to pray?
Yes, please.
All right, Heavenly Father, just thank you for this night. Thank you for everyone that's listening, God. Thank you for your love, and thank you for the opportunity to have a relationship with you, thanks to what Jesus did on the cross, dying for our sins and rising again, defeating sin and death. And I pray if there's anyone out there that's never believed, Lord, that they'll believe and begin that relationship with you today through faith in Jesus. I just pray that they could recognize that, anyone that's out there has been hurt maybe by the church, to realize that it's not about religion, it's about relationship with the Lord, and we're all imperfect, but we're all adopted into God's family through Jesus, and we're to love each other as a family and to forgive each other and grow together. And I just pray, Lord, that we continue to believe in You and grow in You, and I just pray You be with us every step of the way, as I know You will be there for Your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. David, thank you. Thanks for calling in tonight.
All right, have a good night.
You too. All right, good night, Dave. Thanks for calling in.
Hello?
I see you. Hello, this is the
Hello?
No Better Way Down.
Hey, man.
Hello.
What the hell, man? For an hour, what about me? You got other people with real problems here trying to get your attention. You let this doofus John go on about some crap no one cares about.
Please watch the language, sir.
You watch your language. Jake.
Well, all right, you have a good night. Okay, I'm just winding down here. I'm going to close with a blessing, and then I'm going to play the final song. This is the blessing from Aaronic blessing, the priestly blessing from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Okay, just want to wish everyone blessings. Thank you for listening. And I'm going to play the final song. Enjoy. I want to end this show just saying I'm sorry for that call. God bless. Pray for him that he would come to know him. In Jesus' name, amen.
I get on my